the book of Obadiah. We're going to finish up this week, and so it's been a good study. Now, there's two handouts. I hope everybody got two handouts. The first week was the first handout. The second week was the handout for last week and this week. I think there might be a couple copies left in the back if you don't have those handouts. Those handouts are pretty much in outline kind of form with just little notes in there. If anybody needs a handout, you can raise your hand. Ralph's got them in the back. I don't see any hands, Ralph. Oh, I got one hand up here and one hand back there. So if you can get those handouts, there's one from last. There's two handouts. There's two handouts. So we were in Obadiah, and there you go. There you go, last one. All right. Thank you, Ralph, for that. We were in Obadiah. We had finished up last time by looking briefly at Obadiah 11 through 14. And we had looked at the fact that in those verses, we saw a progression of sin. Now remember, one of the things that we're doing is we are drawing lessons from this Old Testament prophecy. And so we had looked there between verses 11 through 14. We talked about those verses, and then we saw a progression of sin. In verse 11, now remember, Edom, the descendants of Esau, the enemies of Israel. Okay, and so we saw that Edom, and God is pronouncing judgment on them, and Edom, the enemies of Israel, or the enemy of righteousness, or the enemy of good, you can take it at that, they stood on the other side and watched evil happen to Israel. They looked on as evil happened to Israel, and then they rejoiced over it, and then they spoke proudly of it. So there's a progression. Not only are they looking, now they're thinking and speaking about it. And then they entered into the gate, or they entered into the way, or the entrance. They were walking towards this wickedness happening to the descendants of Jacob, and they stood in the crossway. The crossway is just a reference to an escape route as evil happened to Israel or the house of Jacob. The crossway was an escape route where they stood in the way of Israel being to escape. And then Edom laid hands on, the verse 13 and 14, and delivered up the house of Jacob. So there's a progression. We see this progression in these verses. And then we looked at Psalm 1:1. In Psalm 1:1, we brought out that there's a progression of sin. Blessed is the man that walketh not. He walks by. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's the walking by something sinful. And even before that, we saw Edom thinking about something evil. And there's the walking by. And then the walking by, and then they stand. And then once they stand, they go, I'm going to take part in that. And they just sit down and take part of the evil. So really, we just see this progression. And the lesson we draw from that is we have got to keep ourselves from doing even the first step. Remember Edom in verse 11, they stood on the other side and they looked on. In a couple other verses, they rejoiced over. They thought about the sin. Okay? And so the lesson for you and I drawn from this, and we briefly got to that at the very end of last week, is that, you know, we don't want to even get to that first step, because the first step leads to the second step and the second. Okay? So what we need to do is what Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 and 20 through 27 says, and that is we need to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Don't be looking at evil things. Don't be looking at evil. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Edom, remember, they went and they stood in the crossway. They went into the gate. Their feet went to evil. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I think that verse is at least referenced in your handout. And basically what the lesson we're drawing from Obadiah is, don't go there. Don't let that progression of sin in your life. And Proverbs reminds us about that. There's some other verses listed there of things that you really need to take a look at, of things that we need to remember in our lives not to give place to the devil. because we don't want that progression of sin in our own life. And that's where we kind of left off last week. This week, we're going to start with verses 15 and 16 of Obadiah. And I hope you all did your homework this week. There was homework last week, and that the week before, at least, was to read through Obadiah. And then again, leading up to today, read through Obadiah. When we're studying a passage of Scripture or a book of Scripture, the first thing we start, well, of course, we start with prayer. We start with a desire to know the Word of God, but then we start with reading through several times that which we want to try and understand, even though it seems obscure. Now, Obadiah, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee, thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been." Okay, so this continues on. If you just read those verses, it would continue on thinking, well, this is some obscure. I can't understand this. But we have seen up to this point that we can draw some things and understand what the Bible is saying. Now, verse 15 is the last or the third of three key verses in Obadiah. Okay, the last of three key verses. I think your handout has a little key there. "Having finished his indictment against Edom." Now, remember, Edom, the descendants of Esau, enemies of Israel, enemies of the descendants of Jacob. "Having finished his indictment against Edom, Obadiah was about to pass sentence, like a judge sitting in court." At this point, verse 15, his prophecy, God gave him, his prophecy was enlarged to encompass all of the heathen, so to speak, or all of the enemies against Israel, not just Edom, but all the countries that constituted themselves as enemies of the Jewish people. He says, all the heathen in verse 15. Obadiah's vision carried him then over the centuries to the day of the Lord. We see this for the day of the Lord right there at the beginning of verse 15. It carried him to this day of the Lord, to the end time fulfillment of many Old and New Testament prophecies. Now, we won't go through those Old and New Testament prophecies, but this is what he's drawing to. From God's point of view, that day was near, at least, you know, when he's having Obadiah write this. And we know, you and I know, that day truly is nearer, the day of the Lord. Like so many prophecies, Obadiah's words would have partial fulfillment for Edom, okay, and later a later fulfillment for the end time foes of Israel. He's talking about that. This is what we understand the words "the day of the Lord" is indicating, okay. And again, all through this book, he's been given warning to Edom. This is continuing that warning to Edom. We look further at verse 15. If we look further, the second half of verse 15, "It shall be done unto thee, thy reward shall return up." Wait, let's go back. "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." What does that sound like to you? Anybody? Anybody? What's that sound like to you? I don't know where that's at in the Bible, but yes, exactly. Don't spit in the wind, right? What verse does it sound like? Be not deceived, right? Galatians 6:7. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here in Obadiah, it says, "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee." Well, there's something we can understand. There's something that we can draw from an Old Testament prophecy that lines up exactly with New Testament words. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Also in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So here are New Testament words, New Testament words of Paul, actually, that line up exactly with an Old Testament. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of years before that Obadiah was written than the New Testament, but they line up. God will give what is due. God is pronouncing judgment upon Edom, okay? But there's lessons for all of us. Many verses in Scripture show us this judgment of God, not just to Edom, but to all who sin and rebel against God, okay? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, the Bible says, "I, the Lord, search the heart." Boy, if we stop right there, we got to think about our own heart. What are we thinking? What are our motivations? Why do we do what we do? Why do we want to do some things that we ought not do? "I, the Lord, search the heart." I want my heart to be clean before the Lord. "I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways." There it is again. "And according to the fruit of his doings." This lesson for you and I is driven home. Obadiah, Jeremiah, Galatians, Romans. And there's a number of other verses I believe I've listed in your handout. Job and Psalm 62, 12, and so forth and so on. Many verses, just, you know, the harmony of Scripture. Really, when you get to study it, it makes you want to shout. Man, God's Word is perfect, and it's harmonious. And God makes these lessons clear for us. So what's the lesson here? Well, you know, that what a man soweth, that will he also reap. But there's also another lesson. It's God who will render what is due unto the transgressor. Now here in verse 15, he says, "the day of the Lord." Not the day of, okay, house of Jacob, I'm going to let you go and exact vengeance upon them. He says it's the day of the Lord. And the lesson, it's God who will render what is due unto the transgressor. It is not up to us to exact that vengeance. God told Edom clearly that the day of the Lord is upon them and all the other nations who are the enemies of Israel. He says, all the heathen. It is God who will enact judgment on them. Yes, God can use earthly tools and earthly ways to enact that judgment, but it's God who is responsible for it and has the authority for it. It's not up to us to exact or to demand or obtain by force or authority vengeance for the wrongdoing done to us. In Psalm 94, verse 1, the Bible says, "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth." Very clear. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. And he says it again in the same verse, Psalm 94, 1. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. It's very clear. Romans 12, 17. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. Recompense no man evil for evil." It says God will exact the vengeance. And there are other verses that go along with that, Romans 12, 19. And again, I've given you a handout there's just so many verses that go along with this. We don't have time to read through them, but you have a handout that maybe in another month or another week you can read through this and just read through those verses. Now in verse 16, so we just read verse 15, verse 16 of Obadiah, Bible says, "For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been." This is the final pronouncement. Now, again, we're looking at Obadiah, and when we started this, remember, looking at a book like this, what's it mean? Help, I need help understanding. "For as ye are drunk upon my holy mountain..." What is this all about? Well, this is the final pronouncement of doom here in the book of Obadiah. God is wrapping up his vision of judgment against Edom. And actually, remember, all the nations who would go against Israel said that in verse 15. He says, as they have drunk, well, as they have defiled or done wickedly to God's city, to God's people, to God's temple. The enemies have defiled those things. Those enemies have attacked those things. They will drink of God's anger and his judgment, and they will be wiped out. If you go back and look at verse 10, remember verse 10 is the second of the three key verses. And verse 10 says, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." And he's saying this, he's wrapping this up in verse 16. Hey, you know what? You've defiled my people, my temple, you've attacked my people, you're going to drink of my vengeance, is what he's saying, as though they had not been. Verse 10 says they're going to be wiped out. There's a parallel verse to this in Jeremiah 49:12. Again, the harmony of scriptures and how God gave these prophets these things to write down. In Jeremiah 49:12, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord." And it's amazing. God said it. "Thus saith the Lord. Behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished?" There's a question. "Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it." He uses the same terminology. You're going to drink of my vengeance for attacking my people, for coming down on my people. One writer said this, "The rebirth of the state of Israel in our day," so a modern writer, "heralds the approaching fulfillment of Obadiah's end time prophecy. The ancient arena is fast becoming the modern arena. The old land of Edom is now part of the Arab country of Jordan, which joins with other Arab and Muslim nations in their hostility toward Israel." We saw it then, we see it now. Jordan was created by the British government about the same time Britain was making plans to implement the Balfour Declaration and the League of Nations mandate. Hatred of Israel will cause embittered Arab nations to ally themselves. Remember, we talked about allies last time. With Russia, the Antichrist, or anyone else who might make their dream of eradicating Israel and exterminating the Jews a reality. God will see to it, however, that justice is done. We just read that. We just read that in Obadiah. The Middle Eastern Arab nations that are so vehement and unrelenting in their anti-Semitism will reap what they have sown. "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee." God's justice is poetic. The punishment parallels the offense, just as one line of a poem corresponds to another. We see it here in the book of Obadiah. We know God's word is true, and we know God will carry forth his word as true. I would say God is quite clear and quite direct about judgment against the enemies of Israel. And we have seen some important lessons for us from these verses in the book of Obadiah up through verse 16. Okay? Now, for the last section of Obadiah, there's a change of focus. So verses 1 through 16, as you have read through Obadiah, maybe you've seen this. Verses 1 through 16, there's a lot of judgment against Edom. We talked last time how God said, "You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done this." Okay? In this last section, verses 17 through 21, he goes from the judgment against Edom to the deliverance of the house of Jacob. Okay? This whole book, it sounds like, our proverb. When you look at the book of Proverbs, many of the Proverbs have the pattern of the wicked are going to get this, but the righteous are going to get blessed with this. Okay? That's, you know that. You read through many of the Proverbs. The wicked are going to get this, but the righteous are going to get this blessing. Well, if you look at the pattern of Obadiah, the first 16 verses, the wicked are going to get this, and then the last few verses, 17 through 21, but my people are going to get this. And so that's kind of the change of focus here. The last section, verse 17, if you look at that, starts with the word "but." And that's a wonderful word. One writer said that these "buts," this word of the Bible, are hinges on which great events and doctrines turn. And certainly a great event is turning, or this is turning into a great event. Verse 17 of Obadiah, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions." The house of Jacob will possess their possessions, the enemy's possessions. Obadiah saw the Hebrew nation resettled in the promised land. God gave him these words to speak. And so Obadiah wrote them down, and he saw the Hebrew nation resettled in the promised land. Israel's sifting time, their sifting time would be over forever. You know how you, I think of baking. When I think of baking, I think of cookies. I need cookies. But anyway, I don't, or maybe cakes. I don't know, Gretna. You sift flour, right? You sift flour and flour. Well, if I'm doing it, it goes all over the place, okay? All right? So he says their sifting time would be over forever. You know, Israel, people of Israel being spread out, the Jewish people will fully possess the vast territory given to them by God. He told Abraham about this. It says this here in verse 17, they shall possess their possessions. Now, interestingly, there's a parallel passage. Again, I think I've written the reference in your handout. There's a parallel passage in Amos chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth." Now that parallels exactly what we read in Obadiah in verse 10. You're not going to be anymore. "And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth." Love how the Bible is harmonious, whether it between Old Testament, New Testament, or Old Testament prophecies. He says here in Amos, "I will sift the house of Israel among all nations like as corn is sifted in a sieve." Meaning, I will disperse my children Israel over the face of the earth, and yet I will so order it that the good shall not be lost. For though they shall be mixed among distant nations, yet there shall be a general restoration of them to their own land. They shall possess their possessions. None of the righteous, howsoever little or contemptible, when the time comes, shall be left behind. All shall be collected in Christ and brought into their own land. This is what God gave Obadiah to write, and gave Amos to write as well. Holiness, the one thing that no one can possess apart from Christ and His indwelling Holy Spirit, will be established throughout the realm. We saw that in verse 17 of Obadiah. "And there shall be holiness." God's laws, now remember, this is looking ahead to the end times. God's laws and commands will become common law, the common law of Israel and of the world. This is what God gave Obadiah to write. This is victory. This is the, you know, this is God is victorious. This is overcoming all evil. Not that he can't overcome it right now, but this is what he's given Obadiah in verse 18 of Obadiah. So in verse 18, he's continuing the thought. "And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it." Man, that's victory. And we see on the current world stage, today, Israel's ancient enemies are going to rise again. They're going to continue the hatred of Israel. Today, the Arabs hold lands that once belonged to Edom, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, Phoenicia. Syria and Egypt are again powers in the Middle East. We know that. Iraq, which is ancient Babylon, and Iran, ancient Persia, are also Middle Eastern powers. And they all harbor deep hostility towards Israel. But I love what God says. He says, "I'm going to be victorious, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to take care of my people." In Obadiah's vision, we have seen here in just the two verses, 17 and 18, a united Jewish nation was back in its land. The nations in that territory, and really across the world, will continue to oppose Israel. We see that today. They will continue to support Israel's enemies and stir up wars and terrorism against Israel. We see that. But in the end, however, they will lose everything. What do we see in Obadiah 17? The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The Jews will be God's chosen instrument to punish them. That's what verse 18 is saying. If you look at verse 18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire. Okay? God can use anything and anybody the way he wants to. And I love what he puts here. As stubble burns in a fire, no remnant of Edom will survive. After all this, verses 1 through 16, and we see the atrocities, the judgment against Edom for what they did against Israel, God's saying, guess what, Edom, you're not going to be anymore. Jacob's going to possess his possessions. God will have the victory by his means, his ways, and in his timing. I don't see in here where God says, okay, house of Jacob, you just let loose and you go do what you want to do to the enemies. They've done bad to you. It says the day of the Lord, God's going to do it. That's right, Dave. God's going to do it. The lesson here, and this is a lesson for me too, it may seem like evil is prevailing, right? What do you see today in all these yahoos in government? You know, it may seem like evil is prevailing, but God will have the victory. God's going to have the victory. He will. Now put this on a personal level. You may be fighting a battle. Maybe it's a physical battle. Maybe it's a spiritual battle. Maybe it's a battle in the mind. But you're in a battle. We see evil all around us. You know, we see evil in our government and you know what they're celebrating and all of that junk. Wickedness seems to prevail all around us. But we as Christians need to let God work. Okay? In Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, fret not thyself because of evildoers. I can see God telling the house of Jacob this in Amos. Hey, fret not because of evildoers. They're not going to be anymore. You're going to possess their possessions. And he says the same thing to you and I in Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. God's going to have his victory. If you look at Psalm 27, we don't have time to read it, but verses 1 through 6 are wonderful verses to meditate on. Verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. God's going to hide me in his pavilion in the time of trouble. Do you think Jacob, the house of Jacob, was going through trouble because of Edom? Sure do. But God says, I'm going to hide you in my pavilion. In the time of your trouble, God will hide you in his pavilion, his place of defense. And of course, Psalm 27, verse 14, wonderful verse. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Think of the house of Jacob and what they went through. Anyways, we got to finish Obadiah. Verses 19 and 20. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. That sounds like the continuing thought of verse 17. And they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of his host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. Now we could go through a whole lot of geography here. But what we need to draw from this is he's continuing the thought of what he said in verse 17. They shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob is going to possess their enemy's possessions, and these verses give detail to what they're going to possess. God gives detail to it. Obadiah continues this vision that the restored Hebrew nation will possess the territory of her former foes. Read into this, God's going to have the victory. Okay? We're told that in verse 17. And these verses describe those possessions in detail of what the Lord had given to them or will give to them. These are victorious verses concerning Israel, and it is God that will give Israel this victory, and it's God who gives you and I our victories. If we just step back and meditate upon this and draw those lessons, hey, fret not because of evildoers. House of Jacob, listen to me. They're not going to be anymore. You're going to possess their possessions. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Well, let's see. Verse 21. So we finally get to the last verse of Obadiah. So these last verses, you know, there's a lot more we could say about the actual geography and what's happening and the relationship between the house of Jacob and all of these lands, or Edom and all of these lands. But suffice it to say that God's going to get the victory over the enemies of Israel and give the house of Jacob those possessions. And he says it in great detail in these verses. And finally, in verse 21 of Obadiah, "And Savior shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." This word here in the last verse, verse 21, saviors, does not mean many Christs, okay? It doesn't mean there's going to be a whole lot of Jesus Christ running around. We know that. We know there's one Savior. There's one Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior. You know that, and I know that, and I'm thankful for that. But this word saviors here gives the meaning of judges, okay, that will save and defend Israel by the hand of God, okay? In other words, they will be deliverers of God's people. You know, Moses was what? A deliverer of God's people, but God used him to deliver his people. This is what this word saviors lends meaning to here. Mount Zion, Jerusalem, will become the center of all governmental control in Jesus's millennial kingdom. So these saviors, you know, I think of righteous judges, and righteous judges would be in constant contact with God about how to carry out judgment, how to carry out, judgment, right? And you and I ought to be in constant contact with God about how to carry out things that we judge, things that we decide, things that we do in our life. Anyways, that's what this word means, is deliverers. And never again will Edom actually or representatively threaten the Jewish people or anyone else that is in the end times. These saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the last words, "the kingdom shall be the Lord's." So Obadiah, getting this vision from the Lord, writes these last words, "and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." There is nothing more to add, okay? For Christ is the King. Proverbs 30:31 says, "against whom there is no rising up." He writes, "and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." It's interesting that the last words in the book of Obadiah turn our eyes to Jesus Christ. Yes, our eyes are on God and what God is doing. But these words turn our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's a lot of verses that go along with that. They're written in your handout. And thus, the book of Obadiah ends. And so we finish our brief study of the book of Obadiah. Now, there's so much more we could learn from this book. So in conclusion, when we take a look at this book as a whole, Obadiah, we can see that God loves his children and will judge those who aim for evil against them. It's the same with you and I. We need to wait on the Lord. Vengeance belongeth to him. We can see that God punishes carnality, worldliness, sin, and has promises to his children. And we saw many lessons that you and I can draw from this book of Obadiah. You remember the goals that we had 2 weeks ago when we started this study? There's some goals. There's a couple goals. Obadiah is in the canon of Scripture, so obviously God intended us to know about it. It's in the Bible. God intends for us to know about it. It's in the canon of Scripture, and therefore there are lessons we can draw from it. And so we had this three-week brief study of Obadiah for knowledge and for application. It was a goal that you would see that even these Old Testament prophetical books that seem to be obscure really are understandable, and they shouldn't be intimidating or brushed over or ignored. I don't claim to know everything about this book, by far. No. But there are things that you and I can draw from it and get to know it a little bit better. And speaking of knowing it a little bit better, as we walk away from this study, I hope what will remind you of the book of Obadiah are the three key verses. Verse 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock, remember Petra, whose habitation is high, and saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Pride." Verse 3, pride. Verse 10, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." Summarizing really the whole book of Obadiah. Verse 3, verse 10, and verse 15. We saw verse 15 today. "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap."
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.